You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Boop, 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 boop.
Brad, wait till the mic's on.
Wait. Oh, wait. Hold on. Okay. Can you turn the mic on first?
Oh, it's a beautiful theme, though.
Oh, it's all gone, though. Deleted.
Definitely.
Yeah. Oh,
no one will ever hear it.
For sure. Oh, man.
There was like 5
you
minutes
had some good
before
material.
That part.
It was
ta-da!
Genuinely one of the best songs I've
ever
heard.
Can you go back and just get that part you weren't recording? Is that possible?
Is this how all the podcasts go that no one listens to?
What do you mean?
Just meandering.
You mean all of our podcasts that you don't listen to?
Oh.
What are you talking about? Why are you making fun of your own podcast? I'm on your podcast.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
If we won't, who will? No one else.
And what podcast is this?
This is the Gang From What We Remember. Our usual podcast is at whatremember.com. We talk about movies we haven't seen in a very, very long time. The Birdcage will be out by the time this episode is in your earbuds. We also just recently did Liar Liar. The Goonies is a big hit.
That was a good one.
That's a top episode right now that we got.
I would like to go back and watch that movie.
You've seen it because it was the first time you had ever seen it.
You've seen it for the second time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need a refresher.
We do some podcasts about chips, which we review chips. Which might come up later in this podcast.
We review chips, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You say read chips?
We read chips.
Well, we do read
the
bags.
It's like reading tea leaves, but with chips.
Tell me my future in these Doritos.
It's going to be cheesy.
But when we come to Podcast Detroit, we talk about a new movie, one that's in the theaters.
And this is in the theaters right now.
Yeah, was this opening weekend? Or was this open weekend?
I hope it's also closing weekend.
I mean, I went and saw it was in the smallest theater at the AMC when I thought
it. There were some people
in
our theater when we were there.
Did you see it in a closet?
I mean,
there's like one other person there.
It was like a tiny
little
room.
Which seat do you want to choose?
There were like 6 other people in this room, and they all sat right by me. Like,
the
theater was like weirdly collected right where I was sitting.
Those theaters where you could pick your own seats, and the guy just like picked the ones that were like right next to the people.
Yeah,
yeah.
You haven't been that guy yet?
No.
When I go to the theater, I don't want to watch it alone, so I make sure
I did that, and then I kind of regretted it. I was like, what are they going to think?
Oh, you're going to think you're crazy. There's an empty theater. You pick the seat next to them. That's what they're going to think.
I've always said, like,
there's nothing else to
think. Oh, then I can go, hey, what do you think about that scene that just happened?
Oh, man, did you see that part right just now that we watched?
And you grab for their popcorn and their soda in the middle of the
thing. I thought we had something going on.
I hate when the theater's so empty because, like, and then they sit right next to you and you want to move to those empty seats, but you know what you're going to look like the biggest jerk if you just suddenly get up and move away from them. And you're like, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy.
Well, if you think you've gone this far into the podcast and wondered why we haven't talked about
the movie. We knocked it out of the park so far.
Oh, boy. It's because there's very little to talk
about. Yeah, this is not one to dwell on.
Let's
do it.
What are we talking about?
My name is Bradley Jones.
I'm Andrew Moldenhauer.
And I'm Andy Hubert.
And this is not a movie review podcast. Oh, no, it is. We're at Podcast Detroit reviewing The Happy Time Murders.
Were there 2 or 3 bad guys in Home Alone? And who was that forgetful fish in Finding Nemo? Join us as we're watching films. See what we remember and what memories we kill. Let's start the show. Here we go. This is what we remember.
Would you?
What?
Would you call this movie a
movie?
Film?
No.
No.
Well, it's like a short. It could have been a short film. It would have been a good short film.
Yeah,
it would have been a good not film, too.
Wow.
Ooh.
If it was just not a film.
You feel much more strongly about this than I do.
This movie isn't about anything.
It's a private detective novel movie.
Yeah,
done
it's so generic.
Poorly,
I think Brad
or just like basic.
Brad, I think mentioned it the right way when we were talking about it.
Brad did
before.
Stop saying my name like that.
Hey, Brad.
Very attacked with my name.
Brad Jones, who lives
Brad
at this address,
Brad once said it really well by saying,
"No, that it's sort of like a bad remake of Who Framed Roger Rabbit."
Yes.
Yeah.
It's if you took all the elements of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, took away all the good ones, and didn't, like, have fun with it, and just instead made, like, sex jokes and let Melissa McCarthy talk about her cooter for an hour.
Yeah. And just and doing have, like glitter as drugs yeah, for like 40
like
minutes.
Like sugar, yeah, instead of cocaine. There, like, I knew leaving this theater, you were both going to hate this movie. It was,
oh, yeah.
I was walking
we hated
out.
The movie during the movie.
And I was kind of
okay,
like.
Everybody's seen Who Framed Roger Rabbit. So you get, like, the movie.
You get what
the plot is basically similar in a way.
Yeah.
In some ways. It's
but
a,
in
it's
a bad
a crime
way.
Detective
not in a, as good.
Movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a serial killer out there.
Yes.
Killing puppets of a TV show that they're used to be on.
Muppets, Andy.
Do they actually say Muppets or puppets?
Puppets.
I thought puppets. I heard them say puppets a couple times.
I thought they said Muppets, but now I'm not sure.
Well,
I
there was a magazine that he saw in that sex shop, and I thought it said puppets on there.
Yeah.
Or Party Time Puppet. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a
but
that's
isn't
the
that also Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where he has his own TV show and like people are being killed in Toontown? Maybe not in relation to the show, but
yeah. Now the murder in Roger Rabbit is of
the whole
a
world is Toontown in this movie.
Yeah,
sort of. I mean, they kind of sort of have like three puppets in like a scene, and then another time they have no puppets at all in the background. And you're like, so how many puppets are actually in this world?
And sometimes there's just like plastic deer head. You see that in the background of that
puppets
of the dinner. It was just a weird. There's some weird like. Hmm. There's some of them are paper mache, which are fun. Some of them are, or most of them are felt.
Yeah,
and they kind of play with a few other ones, and they can just be any variety of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They can be a bird or a person.
They're mostly people.
Or a dog,
I think.
But dogs also exist.
There's some good puppets in this movie,
yeah.
I will say.
The puppeteering is pretty
excuse
good.
Me, puppets. Yeah.
Well, and I was going to say, like, I didn't hate it. I didn't think, like, it wasn't a good movie,
it
but I wouldn't.
No surprises.
I wouldn't have gone as far to say it was a bad movie, but I knew you two would hate it. And
it's
I, and I would
a,
say.
It's not a quality
I would
film
say this is not a movie I would ever go out of my way to see. Like this is,
well,
and
did,
I wouldn't
though.
Recommend. Well,
you went out to see,
yeah,
this.
Because I need to get on. I need to stay on this podcast and make the millions of dollars that we rake in.
Yeah,
Patreon.com/whatremember.
Hey, sponsor.
Buy me a third pool.
We sponsor ourselves.
That is our sponsor.
You get that pool in yet?
Can I
talking about that pool? It's like one of the hottest days in the year.
Yeah.
You
oh my god.
Pool?
It's hot. Yeah, we're getting a pool. We're getting
there's some puppets in a pool.
There
in
are some in a hot tub.
In a hot tub.
A little tiny hot tub thing.
There's a couple of fun puppets.
And that was I like that puppet.
In different places.
There were some good jokes.
Yeah, he was good.
There were some. I
most
thought,
of the jokes were not good. Andy.
No,
I see.
Bad.
I chuckled.
Most of them were improv or said off camera.
That's the problem. This is an improv movie.
It's another one.
It's
of those.
Another improv movie, but with puppets, which adds an extra confusing
mm-hmm.
layer.
Yeah.
And it really is going to end up holding your entire story back.
Yeah,
it does.
And the worst
because
part is
you're
too.
Improving
lingers.
With puppets.
The scenes
what the
linger.
Hell
I think
we're
edit
thinking?
This movie.
What really sucks too is with all the improv movies, like a lot of the Judd Apatow improv films and all that stuff.
Christopher Guest, baby.
Generally, movies that rely on improv date very quickly. This is a movie that I think in like 3 years is going to be so painfully like 2018 kind of film. Like you're like,
it's,
oh boy.
It's also not. It's not dated at all. There's nothing in there that would date this film.
This movie reminds me of the early 2000s when they released a movie and it was like the unrated DVD version.
Yes.
Yeah.
This movie
yeah.
somewhere out there is going to have an unrated DVD
release.
Version.
Most definitely.
Because the behind the scenes were just way better than the actual movie themselves.
Yeah. And it does
true.
Feel like a Judd Apatow improv movie versus not yep. feeling like a Christopher Guest improv movie at all.
Yes, I
they're on like
agree.
Completely different levels, and you get a lot of improv that doesn't add to the storyline. It just makes the scene fatter.
There's people that think they're funny,
sure.
and they are in this movie,
sure.
rather than just them who are funny. They should have just got like people who are funny.
There's a really
you know?
Telling moment at the end of the movie when they play all the bloopers, and you can watch them not being funny, but they think they're funny.
Yes.
They're laughing at their own stuff, and I'm looking at it like, but that wasn't funny.
But that wasn't good.
Yeah.
And that got it into
and they're like,
the movie?
They're chuckle-hutting it up in the corner. They're like, this is good.
Oh, boy.
And also, I think
the
it's
Chuckle
weird.
Hut also is a chicken restaurant yeah. down the street from here.
Is it real? I'm so hungry. I'm going to eat some chicken.
Come on down to the
Come
Chuckle
down
Hut.
To the
bark,
chuckle.
Bark, 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 bark. Save a couple of bucks.
Ask for ale.
Ale.
Ale?
Ginger ale?
This is another movie. So last year, I think, Bright came out on Netflix.
Okay.
Oh, right.
If this movie's kind of this is a little Bright.
And it was weird because that's like the super serious drama version because they both deal with this weird
Orcs
subgenre that seems to be a thing right now where it's about a police department being mad at an officer for not being willing to shoot another person that is the same race as them. And it seems like a weirdly insensitive premise for anything.
Yeah.
Because in Bright, it's orcs. Like, the orc officer was the first one, and he didn't shoot the other orc.
Here's the thing
about
that movie.
Muppets doing that.
It contradicts its own conceit, because he does shoot a puppet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole thing. So he's got this, like, PTSD. The main character, who is a blue
He was the first...
What's his name? Does he
got
a name?
Officer Puppet.
Oh,
I don't remember his name. Yeah. And I will say the entire time
not
I watched this movie, I was like, that's not Kevin Nealon, is it? It's got to be Kevin Nealon. That's not Kevin Nealon. I thought at some point I saw that Kevin Nealon's name was on this. And I was like, by the end of the movie, I was like, why wasn't Kevin Nealon in this movie?
It would have been funny with Kevin Nealon.
I didn't recognize a single one of the puppet voices. When
that was a mistake. That was a huge mistake.
Yeah.
They
should
have had actual.
I think the actual puppeteers were doing the
big
voices
name actors.
Yes, I think they were. I think you're right. And the voice acting was good, but
it
means that the improv doesn't work as well.
The delivery wasn't great.
They can't banter as well otherwise.
Plus, if it was a celebrity that we knew, we might be able to relate to the character a little bit better.
Or you might be willing
to accept the joke. Oh, that's John Hamm. I know John Hamm. Yeah. He's funny. He's a good actor. And, like, you might buy
and
into
the puppet
it a little bit
like
better.
Look like John Hamm, which would be fun, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been good.
I wasn't buying into any of this.
No.
Yeah.
It takes place in Los Angeles?
Yep.
Yeah.
I could have sworn it opened with New York skyline. Do I just have no idea what LA looks like, guys?
Well, it definitely doesn't look like New York.
It definitely doesn't look like
bridges and skyscrapers.
The opening shot has hit.
Is that what LA has?
The opening shot ends on a steady
There's
shot directly
Why
front
on
of the LA City Hall. Brad, it's the most iconic building in LA.
But it opens in like skyscraper world. I thought it was New York.
I don't remember.
Haven't you been to LA?
I have never. Oh,
okay,
been to
I was
LA.
Gonna say Andy's been to LA.
Is
he knows what it looks
buildings?
Like.
Yeah, it's all like.
Is that what it looks like?
It's like the sun is hot and shit and
classic
that's,
LA.
That's
classic
what
LA. It's like kind of dirty. There's like garbage and trash on the corners.
We're well traveled, cultured people. We're very good at describing.
No,
places.
I like LA, but it's not. It's not tall. It's
I
not
just
a tall
don't know
city.
What LA
it's
looks
very
like,
sprawled
I
out.
Guess.
I know what the city hall looks like, but
yeah,
that's yeah.
This reminds me of like LA noir in a way, but it doesn't really want to play to that element. But it does.
Well, there's
it's
no
a little
secret,
bit Chinatown.
Yeah, there's
it's,
no mystery
yeah.
for
it's
the audience to,
like,
to try to solve.
Alfred Hitchcock.
Yes, and that was one of the
big problem.
That was one of the things I didn't care for is that it's a noir spoof. But unlike any other noir, they don't feed you any information that would really let you put it together yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
sure.
Maybe if you watch this three times, you might be able to find something where they were like, oh, maybe they thought about doing that at one point. So something made it into the final cut.
They stole all there, that time away by having these like dumb run-on jokes or scenes. You'd have a scene where Melissa McCarthy and the main character were driving to a scene. And they were just bantering back and forth about how much they hated each other. And then it just fizzled out and they were there.
Yep.
It's like that scene didn't. It's a transition.
It was just
sure,
a vessel for them to do
to
some improv jokes. It wasn't.
Yeah, it made it worse.
Yeah. It needs to at least build it on the what's in the world of the film if you're going to do something like that.
Well, here's the thing. They introduced a femme fatale character, which in these kind of stories is usually the villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's going to be a fun play when it turns out not to be it. No, she's the villain.
Yeah, which
there's no little there's no
there wasn't really
there.
Any insight
there's
there
playing on it.
Yeah,
right. There's nothing playing there, but you also didn't like outright know.
But you can assume
you could probably assume
just
yes.
based on past if you have watched any.
Yeah,
other
if you're a noir
movie
person,
like this,
that
character is usually evil.
Right,
and it was. There was nothing that like subverted my expectations at all.
No.
And why did they give her bags under her eyes too? Do you see that?
Who? Melissa
the
McCarthy?
Femme fatale.
I think they just
that puppet, they gave her like bags under her eyes. I was like, is she tired?
It's probably eye makeup, eyeshadow?
No, it was like a puffy thing.
You're a puffy thing.
Hey.
Ooh.
Hey, puffy pastry.
Hey, nice to meet you.
There was...
I didn't like that puppet. There was also,
that could have been a better prop.
There
was also
plus, it had the big scene where I was like, why are we doing this?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, guys.
Tell us about that scene, Andy.
Oh, come on, guys.
No, let's wait for that scene.
Silly string. Come on.
Yeah, that's
you're
very,
doing silly string in this.
It's silly.
And then they were. Yep. They were.
And then they stopped, and then they did it again.
Which is joke.
Sort of.
Yeah, maybe.
And also, like, it was dripping from the ceiling. I mean, that was, like, Scary Movie joke.
Yeah.
It is.
That was, like,
no,
that was
yeah.
like Scary Movie 3 joke.
Yeah. Epic movie
was literally
joke.
In the first Scary Movie when yeah. that happens. Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
It just, it didn't, no surprises.
No, well,
no twisties and turnies.
There's like yeah. weird Nothing inconsistencies fun. That they're clearly not a joke, an intended as a joke. It was just so, like, because they knew what kind of movie this was, they just didn't really care when they were writing this, I think. Like, Joel McHale tells Melissa McCarthy she's suspended at one point, and like, he's the FBI.
Yeah.
He's not even LAPD. He yeah. can't suspend her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
that
she
was
just
my
hands
first
her stuff
too.
Over and leaves. And I'm like, this is just lazy writing.
Melissa McCarthy
there
uses
was
a
so
joke.
Much
you
could have
had
writing.
The lieutenant do it.
Melissa McCarthy uses a joke from Wayne's World. A butthead says what?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
An idiot
yeah.
says what?
Idiot says what?
A dummy says what?
Yeah.
Bill McHale falls for it every time. It's like, this is from Wayne's World. What are you doing?
And then I know
this joke is literally 30 years old and from a different movie.
And there's like four or five scenes where one character just drops an F-bomb, like they're fed up, they're like, F-bomb, and then the other person's like, well, F you, and then he's like, well, F you, and that happens four times in the movie. You're like, okay, that could happen once?
I feel like
maybe?
It was tiptoeing the R rating instead of just going full hog into it.
Yeah,
it wasn't. This was an R.
100% was an R rating, okay. But it didn't.
They acted like they were trying to avoid an R, and they were like, there was no way this was going to avoid R. Just go with it. Like, yeah,
it had no.
They didn't lean
this
into
movie
the
had like plot elements to it. Like the movie was kind of going places, but it didn't mm-hmm. have the story. Like, you weren't invested in the characters. You weren't invested in the yep. world they live in.
Things jumped too fast in this too. Like Melissa McCarthy goes to visit like the one strung out puppet in like that shack. And, like, sees him. They have, like, a quick bag of these, like, the wife or something. She leaves. He's just dead the next day, and then they think someone else did it. There is yeah. no movement between those two points that connects them in any way. And, like, it made the scene with her pointless.
Yeah.
Because they just immediately kill the character and then say another person did it. And you're like it doesn't have any relevance. It was a useless scene.
Not having any relevance is a great way to describe this movie.
Yeah. This is, if you were like bored
no.
and drinking
don't
a lot,
even try to justify
maybe a
this
little stoned, I could throw nah. this on and chuckle.
Here, let me just get to the heart of the main character's problem.
Yeah.
His partner, Melissa McCarthy, when he was a police officer, he's the first puppet police officer.
Ever.
She's,
classic puppet.
There's never been another
puppet.
She's
being held
officer.
Hostage. The puppet has a gun to her head behind her.
An mm-hmm. evil puppet.
But he,
some sort
an
of
evil
bully puppet.
Puppet.
Yeah, bad guy.
But he has a decent chance of hitting this puppet. And he shoots, and he misses, and the bullet
ricochets,
goes through
yeah.
or ricochets and hits another puppet in this accident.
Yep.
So he accidentally shot
a
another
puppet.
But apparently puppets can't kill puppets, even though it just literally
they're
happened.
Like, you well, missed the shot on purpose.
Oh, well, yeah, they thought that he couldn't hit
so
the
I,
shot.
So
but
I
he
understand,
was,
like, nah. like, oh, he didn't intend for the ricochet. Like, he missed on purpose, but the ricochet was an accident, so he didn't. But, like, he intentionally
no,
didn't shoot him.
It's
like
it.
Their thought. Because
I,
it's
and,
a puppet.
And I don't know why
prep.
Why they would think that he didn't try to hit.
Well,
because there were no consequences, actually. Like, that puppet didn't shoot Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, she did. Melissa McCarthy got rushed to the hospital and got a
yeah,
felt liver
she got
inside.
The, yeah.
Oh,
she
right.
She got shot in the gut.
Okay. But I think that was like in a scuffle. Like he didn't.
Yeah, well, they struggled
it
after
just went,
the shot.
Like the gun went off. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway. Mm-hmm.
It's not
you
like
don't
speed.
Feel anything.
It's not speed is what you're trying to say.
No, I'm saying it's not Die Hard because Carl Winslow in Die Hard, not the same person.
Right.
But that guy had the same problem. He shot a boy. In Die Hard, and you feel more for him than you would ever for this puppet.
There needs to be a part in this movie where our protagonist is like afraid to touch a gun, even like Carl Winslow.
Yeah. Yeah, you get more human elements just out of one supporting character's backstory in Die Hard mm-hmm. than this guy's main storyline. His main storyline is this struggle of his reputation as a police officer
yeah,
and how he's been perceived.
It's really weird because, yeah, you're exactly right, and I hadn't even thought about this, but, Yeah, because Carl Winslow's character has a very similar line in Die Hard, and it makes you sympathize
with him.
I don't
know his actual name.
But instead...
Brad probably does.
Instead, they tried to go for the more Philip Marlowe style, where it's like he's, you know, this, you know, burned-out alcoholic guy. But if you're going to give him a sympathetic backstory, and then you just make him the burned-out alcoholic, those things don't connect as well. Like, the audience isn't going to care. At least I didn't. I was like, okay, that sucks, I guess. But, like, it's got to be one or the other. You can't pair those both up. You have to either make him sympathetic or make him, like, just the gruff kind of anti-hero kind of guy.
Yeah.
And they went for both, and it didn't work. Because they didn't care. Because the writing was lazy.
It is super lazy. And whose name did I see directing this
on
the end? Is that Jim Henson's son?
It is 100%. Jim Henson's son, yes.
He's directed other films.
So,
there was apparently there was
he just
some...
took this idea that his dad kind of created and was just like, let's just make some crap.
He was like, just take these puppets and turn them all into, turn it to R.
And we're not even going to call them Muppets at this point for some reason.
Apparently, like, the production was sued by HBO for, like, Sesame Street specifically sued them for, like, you know, if you make this movie and market it as Muppets, like,
because they
this thing,
must own
it's
going to
hurt our brand because, you know, people associate Muppets with Sesame Street. And they actually, like there was a court case about it. I don't know who
it's
won or not.
It's probably a good idea not to put Muppets on this.
I think the idea could have worked. But
when you think of Muppets, though, you think of all the main Muppets.
Yeah,
you
I
go
think
to
of,
them.
Like, you know, the Muppet
They're
Show.
They're introducing, like,
stuff.
Brand new people.
They
kind of
already
characters.
Did it to themselves, though, with that Muppet television show.
Right.
Where they were trying to play on the fact that it was kind of satirical and edgy. Like, these Muppets were doing things that they shouldn't have been doing. This isn't new ground.
No.
For the Muppet world.
I guess I didn't see that show, so I don't
know. It was on for, like,
know.
2 years.
Yeah. But it's like, this is another one where they use the Muppets as a stand-in for, like, race, and then it just becomes really offensive.
It kind of doesn't work, though, too.
And it seemed really, it just seemed like a poor choice right
because,
now.
Because, like, the... Especially, like, the issues between race and how people perceive race.
And how the police treat race.
That's a very human thing. You can't turn that into puppets.
It's just,
Or it just doesn't work on the same level.
It's just
emotionally.
I think it was just a poor choice. And, like, it was just, someone had a real quick idea and they kind of, like, fleshed out a skeleton of a script and were
this
like,
idea is,
right,
like, 20 years late.
Yeah.
We'll rely on people improvising and then we'll make... It's making 90 minutes.
This movie had to come out at the height of, like, the Van Wilder of, like,
yeah, I'd rather see what the Crank Yankers are up to.
Well, they kind of already did
that
too, right?
Doing.
Yeah.
It was already beaten. So the punches
crank
aren't even
yankers.
Beaten too. So what's the point of this movie?
Yeah.
It's a good question.
Yep.
Tune in next time. We have to figure that out.
40 more minutes of podcasts to go through.
Oh.
No, this is, pass on this.
What is this movie about?
It's about a cow being molested by
a
squid in a sex shop.
And milk going everywhere.
I know.
It's about a bunch of dogs pulling apart a puppet for some reason.
It's about trying to be as edgy as possible with Muppets. And then that was where they stopped being creative.
It's about Melissa McCarthy dealing with her sugar habit.
Yeah.
It's about the detective dealing with... being a detective? I mean, he seems fine. He's got
being
a really,
like,
cute
ex-police
secretary.
Officer.
Yep.
Yeah, he's doing fine. Maya Rudolph is great in this movie.
She was really good.
Always good, though.
Yeah.
She started off a little rough, then she went all in on her part.
She was really great.
Once you give her something to play with, she can really kill
it. Yeah. Well, in those beginning scenes,
I think my favorite scene in the movie is where Melissa McCarthy and
Maya Rudolph
are sneaking in the house and they're like, they find the secret door, and Maya Rudolph is just, like, right on top of Melissa McCarthy. And she's
everybody
being, like,
was laughing.
That was, like, the one moment of genuine laughter from everyone
she's
in the theater.
She's like, can you give me some room? And then she, like, didn't move at all.
She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then goes right back.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry. And they, like, didn't move.
That was really good.
I wanted more Maya Rudolph.
Yeah, she was really, really
good. She was a better character than anyone else in this
film. I've always loved Maya Rudolph. She's so funny.
I also...
Everything I've seen her in is so good.
I also enjoyed the standard cameo from Melissa McCarthy's husband. I think he's a pretty funny dude.
He was the cop.
That
is he the guy,
like,
eating stuff?
He was like, nope. She was like, and you, I wish, like, we could have boned. And then, like, she leaves.
Oh,
and he's like,
yeah,
there's
yeah.
still time. Like,
yeah,
that's,
yeah, yeah.
That's right. He was also in Bridesmaids.
So Brad and I looked
stuff.
At each other when that scene happened in the theater, and we were both like, that's how you end a scene.
Yeah, with a joke.
With
yeah.
a joke. Like, it ended with a
there
good
were
joke.
Scenes that just did not end with jokes.
Yep.
Or they had a joke and then there was like a little bit of a trail off of nothing.
There was like more information
and it was
to
like,
come.
What is no? End it with the joke. What are you doing?
Yeah. This is cut a comedy.
Cut it down to the joke. Watch Naked Gun one time.
One yes. time.
Just do it.
That's all you needed.
Oh
if you want good comedy,
just watch Naked Gun one time, and then just follow that formula.
Yeah,
I. I can't believe they botched it this bad.
I think you guys are exactly right. This movie is 10 years. This movie's 10 years too late.
It's not funny.
No,
there are funny things that happen in it, and people say funny. I'm using funny in quotes.
Yeah,
things, but it's not funny.
Why? It's funny in like the you have a checklist of things that should be funny, and you like are just clearing boxes. Like you're like, yep, put that in there. That will constitutes funny.
Here's an idea.
That's like what the standard is for funny.
And I don't know if this changes anything at all. But what if the main character was a guy and Melissa McCarthy was the puppet? Would that change anything at all?
Well, that turns it into Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yes.
Well.
It turns it into exactly Who Framed Roger Rabbit, except with, you know, without Christopher Lloyd.
What should have had happened was.
What had happened?
This is fine the way they have it set up, but there needed to be clear-cut evidence that puppets were getting killed and the Happy Time murder puppets were them, and there needed to be like a Doctor Doom-type looming villain who the audience knows is probably the bad guy, but because we get this femme fatale felt lady who comes into the office who turns out to be the villain— We don't
Who's
care.
Who's doing things that like don't quite make sense?
It doesn't matter. It's all no. about, and it's also all about yeah. money to her. Dr. Doom had like vested stakes because he was a toon. There should have been like a puppet. Like Melissa McCarthy could have played with that idea more of like having a liver that was a puppet. There could have been like a half puppet, half man that was taking out the revenge on the Happy Time murders.
There's things that they introduced.
It would have been good for like Jenny, like Elizabeth Banks' character, if she had that motive. And she ended up being the villain because she was also.
I thought she was going to be the villain.
There's ideas they could they tease it introducing, and some things they do introduce and then never revisit, or like things that they should have visited that they never do, and instead they just give you like half of a scene every time. And it's weird because if I feel like if they'd cut out a lot of this filler that they it seemed like they had, and actually expanded on some of the more interesting ideas, they could have made a really interesting film. Or at least throw in some misdirect. Like, there was almost none.
No,
it was,
there is no misdirect.
Like, the only misdirect is that...
I still don't even think it would be that good.
You know, the only misdirect, I feel like, is the fact that the femme fatale character, like, he sort of forgets about the case she asked him about, like, 10 minutes into the film. And then he's like, oh, crap, right, that case. And that's the only misdirect is that, her case is not important. Is
her
that
case
that's
needed to be
important.
It needed to relate.
That's not a good misdirect.
To the big case.
Yeah.
She should have been a wife of one of the murdered puppets.
Yeah.
And or she needed some sort of vested
interest. They just need to go back and watch Chinatown and Vertigo and get some like better
the big sleep.
Intel on how these like film noirs work.
Well, if we follow that puppet, she gives him a ransom letter that she's been getting because she's been getting called out about having like lewd photos or something like that put out about her. Not in relation to the plot at all. It's its own separate, like, B storyline that goes nowhere because our protagonist forgets that it even exists. Mm-hmm. And then it somehow loops back into the main storyline, even though.
Did
it
she even need to visit
anyway.
Him in the first place? Like, she's just going around killing the people in the show to get back at him. Why is she also.
Trying to set him up?
And she was trying to kill the people he cared about, set him up for their murders, and collect the money was, like, the whole idea. It was a whole kit and caboodle. It's like for a noir
comedy.
But he
would have got involved anyway.
Yep,
because
she didn't
his
need to
brother.
Be there. It's only for that to fill that film noir plot line of that femme fatale.
And it's frustrating.
Take that time.
It's bad writing.
That you spent
this movie
on
is terribly
it.
Written.
Yes. It's
take that
it's
time that you spent on
writing.
That and add it to something else to make that better.
Yep.
I love noir. It's probably my favorite genre. And a noir comedy can absolutely work. The Nice Guys. Which no one went and saw, but was
I do want to see it,
absolutely
though.
Hilarious. Like Shane Black wrote in a hilarious noir comedy, but the elements of a noir mystery are still there. The characters make it funny, and they didn't do that. They tried to make situations that were funny at the expense of the mystery. And without a mystery, it's not a noir comedy, and it didn't work.
Right. write material that's at the expense of the character.
Yeah, you need to have at least that mystery there. When it's not really a mystery, or when the stakes of that mystery are like secondary and it's very clear that it's not important. I think that, like, yeah, why would I pay attention to, like, their banter about nothing?
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention. I was looking at the background actors, like, the whole movie.
You were.
There was a
great scene that we were watching at a diner where Brad kept pointing out just the lady in the background who was taking a sip of her Coke every shot.
She did it four times. The Coke was the same size every time she took a drink.
It was great because you were like, there's that old lady. Oh. Another drink of the Coke. And the old lady, or that guy back there, she's drinking her Coke.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
That was more enjoyable than any of the jokes in the movie.
Without a doubt. And the guy, the deputy, who just kept eating food in every scene. I was like, that guy's just eating an apple in the background.
But then
eating...
it didn't add up to anything. It was just
like... He
actually
like got some lines. He ended up getting
he did,
lines
and
film,
he like
but...
took his food away to say the lines, which was kind of fun. But they didn't make it a huge point.
Yeah.
What do you think about Stanley?
Useless. Could have casted literally anybody.
I didn't know if he was like totally like interested in doing the movie or not.
There's a few of that guy in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, let's just get some like people who used to be on television that have recognized.
Yeah,
the
I mean, I like Stanley a lot.
With a film
I'm not
like
trying
this,
to knock
I
him
feel,
down, but it just didn't feel right.
He didn't have anything to chew into either.
Yeah,
I think
he didn't
a lot
seem
of the
like
cast
that kind of
knew
person
other,
too.
So. I think it was just that the cast knew each other because they're friends. It's like the same group of friend castings that you kind of see.
Honestly, though, when I saw the trailer, you guys were showing it to me. I was like, that's what this feels like.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like some people just got together and they're like making a Funny or Die trailer, and I was like, this is a real movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why?
And like I said, I think this could have worked if they'd tried with writing or it had been a short film. Those are the only two ways this works.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it could even been like a solid, like maybe 20-minute short film if you want to try to condense that down.
I think you could have managed this in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, we managed about 30 minutes of talking about this movie.
Oh, boy.
Really?
It was
so something. How good is Who Framed Roger Rabbit, guys?
Oh, I want to see that so bad. I haven't seen it in like probably a decade.
So in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, you get the film noir that we want to get.
You get
from
the real
this
mystery.
Movie.
You get Mr. X.
Yes.
You get stakes.
I don't remember the plot to
Roger Rabbit is literally framed for a murder, as in the title of it.
He said Dr. Death?
Dr. Doom, dog.
Dr.
Doom. I thought it was Judge Doom?
Judge Doom. Dr. Doom is the Marvel villain.
Yeah.
Bob Hoskins plays a detective who hates tombs because his brother was murdered by a tomb.
Dropped a piano on him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everyone has like these vested interests.
Yep.
I've talked about Who Framed Roger for 2 minutes. It has more going on than the entire Happy Time Murders does.
Yeah, remember it starts out with that baby doing the acting bit. And that is so well drawn and acted out.
Yeah,
I had a bubble in my throat. It's so well drawn and acted out. It's insane watching the timing and the pacing
so
human actors.
Funny too.
Yes.
Thinking about when this movie came out and how well they managed to meld animation and live action is astounding to me.
Blows my mind.
Yeah, I have no clue how I would ever make that movie with what they had at that time.
Disney did it first. But
it's a beautiful film,
too. It's insane. And it's also one of like the, I think it's the only time that you get all those cartoon characters from different IPs into like one film. Like, because it's got Disney
it's
and
like a,
WB.
It was like a pre-Wreck-It Ralph kind
and
of
some
thing
Hanna-Barbera. Like, they
I don't
managed
know
to license
they,
all
how
of
they
that.
Did that.
Yeah. Yeah. They just pulled the WB
Steven
license.
Spielberg was like, we'll give you
strings.
A little cut.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if they're all invested together, they might make that
for
work.
Sure. That's why Wreck-It Ralph did it. You know, everyone got a little bit of a cut.
Yeah.
Although Disney owns most everything now, but
it's true.
Well, and I think they did say like after that movie came out, like Disney was very emphatic after that movie came out that they were like they thought it was a mistake and would never do that again. So
when they did Wreck-It Ralph,
no, or... Who Framed Roger Rabbit, they would never license their characters one for like an adult film like that, two for one that crosses with other rival IPs. Essentially,
they didn't make a mistake though.
No,
that movie's great.
The movie's so good.
Yep.
It's iconic.
And yeah, you get like this.
And there's mystery to it.
Yep. The studio head gets murdered.
It's like,
and they
who
frame
framed
Roger
him?
And you're like,
but who framed him, though?
Who was that?
I need to know. I need to know who framed him.
You feel for all the characters. They all have arcs.
Mm-hmm.
You think there are.
Christopher Lloyd is scary in that film.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
When he's at the end, when he has that like high pitched voice, I'm like, Why?
I lost my mind as a kid.
Yep. It was very frightening
as
a kid.
He is a scary, scary guy. Mm-hmm. His eyes start going like these cartoonish red colors.
I still, every time he puts the shoe in the dip, I'm like, no.
Oh, that poor shoe.
The poor shoe.
It's a cartoon shoe.
Was it talking shoe?
Yeah.
It just makes little squeaky sounds. And Dr. Doom just puts it in the...
No.
The
and you can see the terror in its eyes as he's lowering it in the dip. And, and he dies for no reason.
No raisin?
Well, he dies to show off how powerful this ooze
is. But that shoe, it didn't have to. Like, that shoe lived a life. And now, and then it was dead.
Sometimes you got to wait till the other shoe drops.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
Okay, that was...
So that movie
that one didn't work.
Has all of the elements of Happy Time Murders.
Put it in Happy Time Murders.
Done,
that was a good that was a joke for that movie.
Okay.
There needed to be some sort of, like,
yeah, it's like a solid joke.
Or, like, something like the puppets were trying to avoid.
Yeah. Or like,
a
at least...
A person with, a personal vendetta.
At least a bigger scheme of, like, trying to stigmatize puppets permanently
or
something.
That's what I was going to say. I want to know more about how the puppets
really
exist in this world.
There needed to be, like...
What their problems are.
There could have even been, like, an evil political puppet trying to, like, run for mayor or something like that.
Oh, yeah, he's gonna knock down the town and build up a puppet resort.
I was gonna say if they want to lead into the race aspect, just either have like one or the other. Maybe he is half human, half puppet, and he's trying to bridge the gap.
Yeah,
yeah.
But there needed to be something like that, and we're just following this detective as he just meanders through scenes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or give Melissa McCarthy a puppet foot. Come on. Come on, give her a puppet foot. A puppet liver? No one could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Give her a puppet foot.
It doesn't even come up until halfway through the movie.
The other thing that doesn't come up is what the main character's problem is. His, like, moral dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have one.
He shot this person.
No. He could shoot the puppet. That's not a big deal.
Well, no, but he also he has some trauma from shooting the ricochet bullet from shooting this other guy. He has some trauma from that, but that didn't come out until like 20 minutes into the movie. I didn't know what had happened to him, why he was fired from the police department.
And I do think
they talk about this bill that was passed.
Yeah, the policy.
That puppets
can't
be police officers.
I think they also
did. But what did he do? Like, why don't you just lay that out in the very beginning?
Yeah. In the scheme of things, this is also a little minor, but him struggling with that is not well conveyed by puppet facial expressions.
No.
If he had been animated or if he had been a person, I think you could have conveyed that. But like with a puppet, it's like the eyebrows can go up and that's about it. Like, so there's just, you don't have the ability to like have him express.
See,
like,
Andy, if you lived
emotions.
In that world, you'd be a puppet. Bit racist.
I'm so yeah.
Yeah. Judging them by their non-expressions.
Oh man.
There were some people that were just outright like, I don't like puppets.
Oh man, they were like so brutally.
Like, I'm not touching that puppet.
Oof. It was tough.
Listen, there's nothing else to talk about with this movie.
No, pass on this movie, everybody. Don't worry about it.
But we have a saving grace. We knew this was going to happen.
We knew this. We were not going to talk that much.
Mission
Impossible levels of
well.
Content here.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the end of the Happy Time Murder podcast.
Yeah, we murdered
Detroit
that.
Podcast.
It's going behind us forever.
We're moving into, for the first time ever on Podcast Detroit,
yes.
Andy loves chips.
Oh, yeah. No one knows what we're talking about.
Nobody knows what we're talking about. So go to whatremember.com, listen to past episodes of Andy Loves Chips, and you'll have a front row seat of what this was about to happen.
You'll actually know what we're talking about.
Andy Moldenauer over here loves potato chips.
Well, not only that, he hates popcorn.
He hates popcorn. Even with his love of movies, he somehow hates popcorn.
Yeah. It sucks.
Let's do a fresh reboot right here for the show.
Okay, I'm offending the engineer.
of course you are.
It wouldn't be a regular episode of this if we didn't offend the engineer at some point.
To be honest, you offended me when we first started this. Now I'm on board. I don't like popcorn anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
It's fine.
Andy, I ate popcorn when I watched Happy Time.
Oh, I bet you did.
Would you
Brad tried to tell me that he's never gotten popcorn at the theater before.
Never.
You are
he was
a
like,
liar.
I've never, ever, ever gotten popcorn
I literally
before.
Said, usually don't. My words were, I usually don't get popcorn. And Andy's right here, right now, putting words into my mouth.
I believe Andy on this one, Brad.
Thank you. Thanks, Andy. Yeah, no, he did say that. But he tried to say, he was like, I haven't got popcorn at the theater in a while. And I was like, you You got popcorn. We saw Ready Player One, man.
That was like two episodes ago.
That was 4 months ago.
Okay.
It doesn't count anymore.
Yeah. It's a statute of limitations.
How much is usual?
I don't know. Once every 4 months.
You have a movie pass. No. Okay. You see movies all the time.
I get like one out of every six is a drink and
popcorn.
Okay.
I didn't know. Maybe I just go.
Wow. Very rare.
Here, I go with you on the sixth every time.
If there's a blue moon out, I'm usually going to get some.
You're
popcorn.
Inviting me out to, the theater. On that same day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That sounds right. But we do have Andy taste test chips so that, well, I was going to say so that we don't have to, but we always do as well. Which,
of course
why
we
wouldn't
do.
You want
which
to?
Which doesn't always work. Speaking of, don't eat Meyer brand steak and onion.
That's the worst chip movie.
Yeah, that's what we've learned so far with this experiment.
It's so bad. But what do we have this time, Brad?
Oh.
Funny you should ask.
Baby.
Oh.
Oh, baby.
Now I'm just getting uncomfortable.
We need more sound. Do you guys have sound effects? Oh, yeah, here it comes. This is going to be good. This is going to be good.
Well, yeah,
okay.
We haven't done this in a studio.
Yeah, we want you to lay down some sound effects here.
Perfect.
Oh, you're lucky that I didn't grab these because I grabbed the other kind of Lay's, which you probably know at this point.
So what are they, Andy?
Okay.
What do we got today?
Lay's is still coming out with the, they're doing their flavor inspired by.
Why you gotta say it like that? Wait, put a little excitement behind that.
Okay.
It sounds like you're stuttering.
We're trying to sell this segment to people who don't normally listen to it here, okay?
Okay, these are Lay's deep dish pizza.
Ooh, boy.
Is that Giordano's?
Yeah.
So that's in Chicago?
Yeah.
Chicago.
Chicago.
We got any good blurbs on
this? I did pass over these.
It's not Passover yet, Andy.
Yeah, well, no one told me.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Okay. I grabbed the...
Tell me about Lay's. What are they
doing
right now?
Bacon jalapeno ones. I'm excited to eat those. But
explain to me what's going on with Lay's right now.
What time of year is it for them?
It's not time to lay down. They're busting out these chips.
I feel like I'm more softballing you things than you.
I don't know. I don't know what you're asking.
He's so caught up in this bag of chips.
More soundboard.
Yeah.
More soundboard.
Oh my God, they have more flavors.
That's what I'm trying to get.
That's what we were softballing to you.
Oh, I can't read any of these. They printed it so small.
Every year they do an experimental run of a couple flavors.
Usually eight chips with eight cities.
Yeah, they have eight chips.
Yep.
You tell me the cities. Nice.
This guy.
Okay, they have chili con queso. They have crab spice, dish pizza, lobster roll.
Oh, no.
I need to get some crab spice on the way home.
Fried pickles, ranch, and Cajun spice. This is the part where we eat the chips.
What's the how's the bag art, okay?
I mean, it looks like Lay's. Yeah, it's...
You're so excited for this. I can't wait.
Okay,
it's crazy. You can eat
Listen.
Keep those coming.
Where's the New York style pizza?
That's already happened.
Yeah,
it happened?
Come on, well, you missed it.
We didn't do it on
it's
the show.
Old.
They do different ones
every
year.
We'll find some. We'll get it. Open the bag already. You're bumming us all out.
I'm very disappointed in your enthusiasm.
Let's see
right
what.
Now.
I don't know if I'm excited about deep dish pizza.
What? Make me feel excited.
Okay,
about
let me try
sell
it
to
first.
Me. We need to get that sponsorship from Lay's happening.
Wait,
so, oh my gosh, what is this?
This is not normal. This is not normal. Andy loves chips protocol. Andy.
Oh my gosh.
What?
You didn't give us the smell. You didn't give us your
you
smell
didn't
impressions.
Give a smell test.
You
okay.
didn't
okay,
tell
wait,
me about
the bag.
Got crunch into
really
it
didn't
in front of the
read anything on the back of this.
I'm in a different environment. You got to bear with me. Okay, but those two taste like pizza.
Well, all right, that concludes Andy's.
Let's
oh my gosh.
Are they deep dish though? There's a lot of oregano on there.
Oh boy. These are George.
This is good stuff. I really like these chips. Okay, I'm on board with these.
I don't know.
Oh my god. This guy.
So we've had a couple of pizza chips.
We have
on the normal podcast.
Oh my god.
That's why I brought this one here, just to compare against those. and also just get like a fresh take on a pizza chip. We've had Napoli's pizza chips, which you rated an 8, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some marinara ruffles.
Oh, yeah.
Which you've rated pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have mozzarella stick ones,
and
too?
We had mozzarella stick ones, yeah. We've dabbled in the pizza chip.
The pizza area,
this isn't
our
first pizza
adjacent.
Pizza rodeo.
But when it comes to pizza, I'm not totally fond of the deep dish pizza, the Chicago style, like the more flat.
Can I be honest with you right now?
No.
Please do, Brad.
These are great at being what they claim to be.
Yes. The audience has spoken.
No, that's Andy.
Oh, I put a chip in my mouth. I half think a piece of cheese is going to be on the end of
it. Yeah, yeah.
Coming off as a string.
Brad, did you take your medication?
Not that kind of medication.
I guess I took the wrong pill.
Applied directly to the forehead, eh?
Oh, my God. I like these. They taste a little bit like pizza Pringles.
They taste way better.
They taste better than
pizza
Pringles.
Come on.
Yeah, you think so?
They got the Lay's texture going.
They got the cheese working. They got that oregano. You got a little bit of the tomato in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ingredients in these chips. We got some vegetable oil, of course. Deep dish pizza seasoning is like the third ingredient. Tomato powder, cheddar cheese, spices, Parmesan cheese, Romano cheese, buttermilk's on here. Vegetable juice. Don't know what that is,
boy.
But it's on here. Contains milk ingredients.
Here's the positive thing I'll say. When it comes to eating deep dish pizza, you can really only eat like one slice or two slices because they're so incredibly
so
rich
yeah,
and they're
absolutely.
Dense and they're filled with cheese and it's a lot of bread.
Mm-hmm.
This has the flavor without all of that extra density in it.
Yeah. I mean, I get you could snack
which I really
on
like.
A whole bag of these and
hell
it'd
yeah.
be good. Which I'm going to do right now, by the way.
Yeah.
These are very, I think they hit the mark.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I got to say is whether or not they're good chips is up to Andy to decide.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as Brad goes, if you're trying to make a Giordano deep dish inspired pizza chip,
this is
better than
as close
this.
You're going to get.
Satisfying.
Yeah.
They're very satisfying.
This is pretty good. So, Andy, we have our scale, our chip taste flavometer,
mm-hmm.
which runs from popcorn to 10. So, on a scale of popcorn to 10, with popcorn being the worst, where do these fall?
You might not think it's fair, but I'm going to give this a 5.8.
Ooh, that's a strong score. Okay.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what that
that's
glass
a pretty
shatter
strong.
Means.
I think Stone Cold Steve Austin's about to happen. Give me some of them pizza chips.
That's a strong score, and I think I would. I mean, I personally
I think
really
it's a
enjoy
fair
these.
Score. I know you guys would be higher, I bet. But
probably,
they're good. They're not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wouldn't be my ideal chip.
Well, we got some other ones that Lay's has thought of here.
Yeah.
Fried pickles with ranch.
Yeah. What?
Thai sweet chili.
Ooh.
Cajun spice.
I want those.
Yeah.
I need that.
Try it.
Chili con queso, which you said. Crab spice.
That sounds iffy.
What is lobster
that?
Roll.
So are we like guessing cities here? What's going on?
I'm just naming the things on the back
I
of
mean,
this.
I mean, Cajun. New Orleans.
I mean, do we have the answers available? Because I don't want to guess if we're not. If we're never going to know.
Like lobster roll? What?
We have 5 minutes to kill. What do you want
oh
from
my
me?
Gosh.
Where's the lobster roll from?
New England?
You know, the crab's from New England, Brad.
Well, there's a lobster roll and there's a crab spice.
One's from New England, one from Louisiana, maybe.
The Cajun's from Louisiana, Brad.
Oh, my
gosh. Oh my
there's not
gosh.
Enough.
Yeah. And where would the Thai be from?
Come on.
Yeah,
you
where would the Thai be from? That's actually a good one
good point.
To be concerned with.
Is Thailand a state now?
I mean,
one too many coups. We took them over.
I like these chips.
How could you not like these chips?
No, they're good. They're solid.
But if you want to know more about other types of chips,
mm-hmm.
we've tasted a lot. Some are good.
And we're still going to taste more.
Some of your favorites. Do you remember any?
Korean barbecue.
The Kettle Brand Korean barbecue.
Korean barbecue is so good.
And some of the worst. We already mentioned the steak and onion.
Montreal steak chips were not very
exciting.
They were weak.
Yeah, they were weak.
They were not very exciting at all. Grilled steak and onion, terrible.
Oh my God.
You said that 3 times now.
Oh, he said it once.
He said it two times.
Those chips traumatized me.
They're bad chips.
I'm
they
afraid.
Also change your voice a little.
You can
bit.
Also like eat all of them though. Ooh.
Well, you kept coming back for
I got scared when you brought up the Montreal steak seasoning because the word steak was on that chip bag, and I was having an episode remembering those steak and onion chips.
Give me some throwback Lay's flavor. I remember you telling me about like a Euro chip.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me
about that.
Tell me about something.
I went to Walgreens.
Maybe not that far back.
This delivery sounds like you sound like
I went to Walgreens.
Some comedian on a stage like, so the other day I went to Walgreens.
Can you guys believe this? I went to Walgreens and picked up some Gyro chips. I opened that bag and those things were gray. What is up with that?
They were gray.
Why would you sell some gray chips?
Gray chips.
I tried those and they were disgusting.
Were they as bad as the steak and onion chips?
They were worse.
Whoa.
They were really
whoa,
bad.
I was like, 109? What are you going to do with that extra 10 cents? Make some other crap? Those are bad. I mean, it's a good concept. Poor execution.
Okay. So they didn't, like, these chips successfully pulled off tasting like what they were supposed to.
I was excited to try the Gyro chips, and they didn't taste like it at all.
Man.
It was bad.
What were great were the chicken masala chips, though.
Oh, the tiki marsala?
Yeah.
I keep saying it wrong.
You still can't say it right. I can't tell if you're saying it wrong as a joke or you just can't say it right.
I think I didn't know for the longest time that they were different words. I just kind of like I saw it in a glance and my brain just filled in the rest.
That's fair.
Andy, if you had to come up with Andy Chip, what chip would you?
Which Andy are you talking
you,
to?
You, of course. I'm looking at you. What's the chip that defines you as a flavor?
Brad, that's a deep question.
That's why I asked it. We got 3 minutes to
Man.
Throw.
3 minutes?
I was like, I've had, I think the chip that I feel like I really connected with the most was I had some chicken and waffle chips.
Ooh. Oh, those were good. I tried those.
Yeah,
those are solid.
Sweet.
Those are real. They like you get a hint of maple syrup. I think they are Lay's. I think
that was one of these flavored by brands.
You get like the chicken seasoning and then it's just some maple syrup basically and they taste
Sounds
amazing.
Lovely.
They're so good.
Like
and it was layered
potatoes.
Too. Mm-hmm. It was layered really well.
Yeah, those were
getting a little choked up.
I got choked
this.
Up on some chips.
You got choked
single
up
tears. Remembering
it
was layered so well. You won't believe it. It was like you get a little bit of that fried chicken, and then you get the maple syrup like right after.
Yeah,
because I've had a chicken chip before, and that
we had some hot chips, right? Hot chicken.
Oh, we did have the hot chicken chips. Yeah,
they'll come out later.
Yes, is it not out yet?
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
It's one of the next ones coming up.
Once we get the board put together, once Brad, finally does some work around here.
By the board, he means we're going to have an actual board of where all the chips have fallen.
Have ranked.
Yes.
Yes.
That'll look cool.
It's going to be good. So stick around. Check out our site if you want to see this board later someday.
What? How are they going to see a board on a podcast?
Put it on our Facebook, Brad. How do they?
Have you heard of something called
Instagrams? Or
do you even know what
the Twitter
sphere? On our MySpace and our LinkedIn and our Tumblr.
We're on
and our Flickr.
That one?
We are What Remember. You can find more of us at whatremember.com. We're on social media, twitter.com/whatremember, facebook.com/whatremember, instagram.com/whatremember. Email us, whatrememberpodcast@gmail.com. Find us. We have more episodes on Podcast Detroit. Check those out. Those are great.
Some Star Wars-y.
Search Podcast Detroit and our name, Won't Remember. Find some good stuff. And thank you very much.